It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord was reminding me we had one more praise report. Baby Raylan that we've been praying for, my cousin's granddaughter, is out of the hospital. And the doctors are thinking that there's not going to be any repercussions from the meningitis or the medication that she was on. She has taken a huge turn. So that's a huge praise the Lord, because they weren't sure she was going to be with us for a while there. So that's a huge praise report. So thank you for agreeing in prayer for her. And you don't want to miss next Sunday. Say, be here. Be here next Sunday. It's Mission Sunday. And I know some churches, Mission Sunday is a sob story. Not a Redeemed Church. We get excited about missions, right? Because God is moving all over the world, and we are partnering with people all over the world. Some of the testimonies are phenomenal, so don't miss next week. Amen? Anybody want to hear what Mr. D is doing in Togo? Be here next week, because it's good. Amen? Okay, so grab your Bibles and open up to Exodus 16. And we've been doing a series called With God, All Things Are Possible. And if you look at the bold letters, God, All Possible. If you can't remember the whole thing, remember three words. God, All Possible. If you're wondering, I don't know, is this possible? God, All Possible. It's all possible with Him. Amen? And we've been looking at scriptures and Bible stories about how things were impossible. Okay? Impossible. You don't walk around a wide, thick wall that people race on and live in and shout and it falls down, right? That doesn't happen in the natural. But with God, all things are possible. So we're going to look at a story today, and I thought it was interesting that the Lord brought me to this one. I was actually listening to Keith Moore, and he was bringing out some points about this part of the story, and the Lord was saying, I want you to use this one. And I was like, it's kind of a different one, Lord. It's when the children of Israel, they've just come out of Egypt, and they've went through the Red Sea, and we've all discussed that Red Sea was one of the things we talked about, and we discussed that if you went through the Red Sea and you watched the wall of water on one side and the wall of water on another side, and you walked through on dry ground, that should have made some kind of impression, right? But isn't it amazing how quickly we forget the miracles of God? Have you ever noticed that? That you'll get through this amazing miracle, and then this little boo comes out, and we go, ah! Right? No! We've all seen some type of water that the Lord has pushed back in our lives and held back so we could walk through it unscathed, right? Whether it's physically or financially or spiritually, God has done that. We can't forget what He's done. Amen? We keep our eyes, yes, straight ahead, except for when we turn back to be thankful. Amen? Okay, so the children of Israel have just gone through all these amazing things, and they're all grumbling. Verse 2, it says, and in the desert, the whole community grumbled. Their community was thousands. Thousands. Their grumbling probably could be heard for miles. And who are they grumbling against? Moses and Aaron, as if they have any ability on their own to take care of this problem, right? No, it just, in the natural, it's not going to happen. And you read down, and earlier in the story, Moses and God are talking, and I love how they interchange whose people they are. When Moses is talking to God, he said, these are your people. And when God is talking to Moses, he said, no, these are your people. There's this constant going back and forth, right? And so Moses always went to the Lord and said, okay, here I am again. They're complaining again. They say they have no food. I brought them out here to die. So the Lord says in verse 4 to Moses, now listen to this. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. When was the last time that you went outside and it was raining bread? Right? But we read through these stories and we just go right on through them. We don't stop to fathom the fact God is going to rain down bread. I remember when I was probably in junior high, we had a missionary that came to our church, and he was sharing a story about, I believe it was his own life, and his family was very poor, and his dad had to go, I think it was maybe during the Depression, His dad had to go away for work, and his mom was down to literally a jar of peanut butter, but they didn't even have bread. And they were praying as a family, and one of the kids remembered the story that God rained down bread. And his mom said, well, we'll ask the Lord and we'll see how he provides. And the kids were playing in the front yard, like kids do, and a bread truck came by. And the guy had not closed the back of the truck. And as he went by their road, it wasn't a very smooth road, it had potholes. And as the kids were playing in the front yard, it went over some potholes, and two loaves of bread came flying out of the truck. And the kids grabbed them and said, Mom, look, it rained bread. And I remember it was Franz. I don't know why I remember that, but I remember it was, the kids were so excited because it was the good stuff, right? And so, you know, but sometimes we need to be children. Sometimes we need to come to the Lord as children and take him at his word. Amen? And so he says, I will rain down bread from heaven for you, verse 4. And the people are to go out each day and gather enough bread for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Every story we have read, there has been a part that God has played, and there has been a part that we have played. And here it is again. And he says, see if they will follow my instructions. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I'll say it again. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't care how much you give in the offering. If you're not obedient, that sacrifice isn't worth as much as your obedience to him. And he says, oh, follow my instructions. And number verse 5, and on the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in. And that will be twice as much as they gather on the other days, because they won't gather on Sunday. Okay? So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening you will know that the Lord, it is the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. In the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling. Who are we that we should grumble against us? Moses said. You will know that it is the Lord who gives you meat in the evening to eat and all the bread you want. Did you hear that? All the bread you want in the morning, because he had heard your grumbling against him. And so the story goes on that they go out the next morning, and actually I think the quail came first at night. So he gave them meat and he gave them bread. I have been with a hunter. My dad's a hunter. Quail do not come near you. In case all of you just wanted to know, at the slightest sound, they go, literally, they make that noise. And they're just gone, right? These quail came into the congregation. So they were able to grab them like a chicken. That's miraculous, right? And you're like, if you told somebody outside the church, they'd be like, for real? No way. You're right. That's impossible. But with God. And then I love this picture. It's the best picture. They're out there collecting what? Manna. Bread that came down from heaven. Now, it may not have looked like that. I don't know. It's just a visual for us to see. But they're out there collecting. But even in this collection, you'll see some people didn't pass God's test. Because sometimes when we have something, our needs are met, we hold on what we shouldn't hold on to because of our lack of trust and fear. And it says later on in the story that some of them, they went out and collected, but they collected more than they were supposed to. And it says on some occasions, well, actually, I believe it was the first day, that when they gathered everything together, everybody had just enough. Just enough. Even those who gathered more, they had the same as those who gathered less. That's impossible. But with God, all things are possible, right? But then there are those who snuck a little for a rainy day. Did anybody ever have a grandma that went to the all-you-can-eat buffets and took a little something home with her? I had one of those. I'm like, Grandma. She was like, it says all you can eat. I'm like, yes, as we're sitting here at the table. It's a cinnamon roll. It'll be fine. I'm like, oh, okay, Grandma. Anyway, but there were some who weren't trusting enough. They had felt the hunger, they had felt the lack, and they didn't trust the Lord to provide for them the next day. And you know what happened to what they held back? It rotted. It spoiled. See, that's the crazy thing. When you are a tither and a giver, and you're someone who puts your trust in the Lord, you don't have to store up storehouses filled with stuff just in case for tomorrow. You know why? Because you don't even know if you're going to be here tomorrow. That's why we have to what? Follow His instructions. Amen? Now, I'm not saying we don't want to have storehouses. We do, because as the children of God in these last days, I believe the people are going to start coming to the church because the world isn't going to have the answer anymore. Amen? And there is a work to do, and that takes funding. Okay, so we're not talking about that. I'm talking to the people with the heart issues who are storing up, who are hoarding up just in case God doesn't come through. Do you see this? This is super important. God, if He needs to, will rain down bread into your life, because I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Never, He says. Say that word, never. Never. I don't care if nobody else in your whole neighborhood has stuff. Guess what? You will. You will, because you are a tither and a giver. And He says what? Trust Me in this. Trust Me. Trust Me. Don't lean on your own understanding. If we leaned on our own understanding, or the children of Israel leaned on their own understanding, nobody would have gone out looking for quail, because quail don't do that. Nobody would have gone out looking for bread on the ground, because that doesn't happen. We have to get to the point, listen to me, we have to get to the point that we listen to what the Lord says, we follow His instructions, and we watch for the blessing to flow. And it's not going to come in the ways we always have thought it would come. God is doing a new thing in these last days. We need to be listening, for when He says, do this or do this, we do this and do that. Amen? Because with God, all things are possible. Can I tell you, we have more than enough money for this event. How is that possible? How is it possible? Because with God, all things are possible. We have money enough to bless those who are come and donating their time and their talents and their gear. We have money to be able to say, thank you. That's huge, right? That's massive. With God, all things are possible. Say that with me. With God, all things are possible. One more time. With God, all things are possible. Don't let the devil cheat you out of anything that's rightfully yours in your life, in your finances especially. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank You so much for this amazing story, Father. It's actually history for us. It's not just a story, it's our history. And we thank You, Father, for the anointing that You placed on this people. And these people were not even faithfully serving You. They were grumbling against You. They are where they were at because they were walking the opposite direction of where You wanted them to go. So how much more? How much more does Your Heavenly Father want to bless you because you are giving to Him? You are being obedient to Him. Father, I pray today You would stretch our thinkings. Stretch our thinking, God. The prayer of Jabez says, help me to enlarge my tents. I just ask, Lord, enlarge our brains. Help us to be able to grasp the concepts that You're bringing to us, Father, and help us not to shy away. Like Steve said, help us to think bigger. Help me to think bigger, Father. I praise You for Your faithfulness in the past. I praise You for Your faithfulness today. But God, I praise and rejoice in Your faithfulness tomorrow, that we can trust You. And Lord, I pray for every person in this room, if they are facing something that looks impossible, remind them. If they have to, You will send a bread truck right down their street to drop off bread right into their laps. You will always provide for Your people and their children and their children's children, because that's part of the blessing that comes from the blessed man or blessed woman. And Father, I just thank you today for anointing every seed that is sown, Father. There is a work to be done in these last days, Father, and we just praise you and we thank you. Redeemed Church stands up and says, we'll be that. We'll be the vessels that you can flow through to touch this world. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen and amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. Bless our country, Lord. Bless our leaders. Bless President Trump and his family and his administration. Bless J.D. Vance and his family and his administration. Bless the Senate. Bless the House of Representatives. Bless Mike Johnson. Bless John Roberts and all the Supreme Court judges and every judge across the land. We bind the spirit that is trying to control and be activists from the bench. We bind that spirit off our nation. We speak truth and justice and freedom and a love for God in this nation that this nation was founded upon. And we bind Satan's hand that would come to steal, kill, and destroy children and rip the heart of this nation out. We rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you for the wonderful things that you're doing in our land and in the nation of Israel as well. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Israeli Defense Forces. And we bind the spirit of anti-Semitism off of our nation, off our college campuses, out of the church, yes, out of the pulpit, in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Father, for the wonderful things you're doing in our land. And we will continue to pray and intercede and praise and walk in that spirit of expectation. For the time of the church is here. The time for the church to come out of the darkness and in the light and shine the light is here. We are not a people who hide from the world. We're a people who stand up tall in the face of every human being on this planet and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Whether it's in the ministry, whether it's in business or in politics or in education, medicine, science, technology, arts and entertainment, media, the family, we take our stand of faith for the mountain of the Lord's house will be exalted to the tops of the mountains. In the name and by the blood of Jesus, we pray. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're continuing a message entitled, Let Freedom Ring. Somebody say, Let Freedom Ring.
Let freedom ring.
Glory to God. And we've been talking about, specifically, I just felt drawn to the Liberty Bell, right? And this is, I believe, the third message in this series. But the foundation text is Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. And it's interesting that that verse was actually inscribed on the Liberty Bell. So for anybody that would think our founding fathers were agnostics, atheists, whatever, I don't know that a lot of Christians would think of Leviticus. So for them to say, I know, Leviticus, that says a lot about the people that founded our nation, right? And the heart that still is in this nation. Glory to God. But it says this, Leviticus 25:10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year. Somebody say the 50th year, right? And that's why we spoke a little bit about Pentecost right now, is the 50th day after Passover. Now on the calendars that are not anti-Semitic calendars, what do I mean by that? Calendars that say Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, you know, these kind of things. They say, I believe it's June 8th, but that's incorrect. It's cool at least that they mention it. But what they're talking about on calendars is 50 days after Easter. But it's not 50 days after Easter. It's 50 days after Passover, which is tonight. Glory to God, right? So the freedom of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, the fire of God, I mean, we can have it all 24/7 in the Holy Ghost, but these are divine portals of time from God, God's calendar, to just get our expectations up. And I was just this morning, I was looking at it again, and I was perplexed about that. Because I saw in the Torah portion yesterday, it said festival reading June 1st. And I thought, wait a second, my calendar says June 8th, but the Jews say June 1st. And so I looked it up, and there it is, tonight. And Israel celebrates for 24 hours, one day, if you're in Israel. If you're outside of Israel, 48 hours. Who decides that? I don't know, but I like it. Right? Especially when we're talking about this event on Tuesday. It's Tuesday night, right? It's the season that the day is still the Pentecost time, right? So glory to God. So 50. And next year, our country turns 250. These are significant things. Now, I believe in the name of Jesus that when we turn 249, I got to ask a rabbi about this. I would like to know. The Jubilee year, is that the year leading up to the 50th, or is that after the 50th? Because to me, now I didn't do all that great in math, okay, but when you talk about a 50th year, once you turn 49, after that now, you've completed 249 years, right? So that means every day next year is to complete the 50th. So I'm believing God that, I mean, we don't got, with Jesus, he's our perpetual jubilee. We know this. But these are amazing, supernatural, and glory to God, Donald Trump and people like that are in places of power during, this is not an accident or just something by chance that's happening in this nation. Amen. These are glorious things. Glorious things. And yes, they're human beings. Absolutely. Every person in this Bible, as far as I know, are human beings. Jesus included, right? Of course, his heavenly father. We understand that, right? But Noah, right? David, I've been going through the story of David lately, and now I'm into Solomon and all. You know, they had issues. But God uses human beings, right? And we don't use human beings in this book, to say, well, yeah, that's why I can have a lust problem, because Abraham had multiple wives. God will not accept that answer. How many of you know? God will not accept, well, that's why I can curse and, you know, do whatever I want to do, because God uses broken vessels, so I'm just going to be, no. Somebody say, God does not accept that answer. That's not going to fly with him. Use the word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost and an act of your will to get free of stuff, right? Amen. And live for him every day. And if I blow it, not if, when, probably, right? When I blow it. But here's the thing. I'm not in the practice of blowing it. I didn't hang a shingle up. Here is Steve. He's blowing it today. He is in the practice of blowing it because, well, he has a Savior. Well, glory to God for my Savior. But you know the word grace? I heard Shelley talk about this before too. Grace is not a license for Steve to do whatever Steve wants to do. Like my Visa credit card. It's the cross. Here's the blood of Jesus. Just scan the card, man. Scan the card. No. Grace means divine influence, not sinfluence. Divine influence on Steve's heart. And his reflection in my life, right? So we need to stop preaching in the church and in the body of Christ a Jesus that's more like me. And start preaching, I need to be more like him. Isn't that the way this works? From glory to glory and faith to faith and hallelujah. Amen and amen. That was bonus coverage, I think, right? Hallelujah. But this is what's inscribed on the bell. You shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty. Here, somebody say, proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Just the red states?
No.
just Texas and Arkansas and Indiana. No, somebody say all this, all the land, right? Yeah, every bit of it. Proclaim liberty to all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. Just the white people? No. Just the black people? No. Just the Asians? Just the Hispanics? Just the people that are, you know, not homosexuals, whatever? No, no, no. Somebody say to all the people. Proclaim liberty to all the people. Praise his name forevermore. Just inside the church, inside our little walls and our meetings? No, no, no. Somebody say proclaim freedom. Proclaim liberty. And we know liberty has a name, don't we? What's the name of liberty? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the way out of this. In fact, this is something the world will not tolerate. You hear the word tolerance a lot. They'll tolerate everything except this. Jesus is not a way out. He is the only way. He's the only way out of hell. The only way out of the curse. The only way out of slavery. The only way out of bondage. There is no other option. If there's I love my mom, she's not here this morning, but she tells a story about a neighbor of ours years ago that was, I believe, Muslim. Really nice family, wonderful family. They're all Christians now. He passed on. But she would talk to him about faith things, and he'd want to, but he was kind of a, you know, like jousting, sword fighting a little bit, friendly. But he asked her once, he said, "Beverly, if you and I were both in a burning building together, and only one of us could live, which one of us would you save?" Thinking he had her. And she said, "Oh, that's easy. I'd save you, because I know if I die, I'm going to heaven." Somebody say, one way out. There's one exit. And you could also say one entrance. And his name is Jesus. He said, "I'm the door." He didn't say, "I'm a door." He said, "I'm the door." Glory to God. So people that hate on Jesus, like up in Seattle last week, did you hear about that? People that are friends of mine, Bob and Jenny Donnelly, and the brother that spoke here from, what's the organization? Turning Point? Ross, yeah, thank you. You get to know people, and you're still getting to know people, and God just adds more people. But Brother Ross that was here, they're all up having a worship service in public in Seattle last Saturday, not yesterday, but Saturday before, and Antifa shows up and begins doing crazy things like they do. Come to find out, the city is the ones that sort of coerced them to have the meeting in that specific park. Because they knew. And then the city used that as an opportunity to say, "No more Christian public meetings, because it's all your fault, Christians." Does that sound, bizarre to anybody else? These leaders, these so-called leaders that are supposed to be protecting the public, having a peaceful gathering in a public park, well, they're fighting it. And I'll tell you, I know these people. They pick the wrong people to mess with, right? Yeah, yeah. We have to be a voice. We have to be a voice, right? And so the devil might have kept certain people. There's probably hundreds and hundreds of people that were like, "I'm not going in there." But what the devil did is he's falling into his own trap, because it's just going to cause this thing to go sweeping across the country and bring more light to people like, "That's crazy. The mayor said that about Christians, and he didn't come down on Antifa." Sounds like Antifa's kind of the lynchman for some of these people, right? It's just nuts, right? So as the church, our job is to proclaim Jesus, not just inside the four walls, but out there too, and be a support and a voice, and not go hide when the devil says, "Boo!" Right? No, just keep speaking it. We'll find out how weak the devil really is if we just stand up to him. Right? And we can do it in a spirit of love. We can do it in a spirit of love. I saw some of those Christians interviewed. They're like, you know what? I love those people. I hope they get saved someday. But what they're doing is wrong. Glory to God forevermore. That's the nation we live in the community that we live in, right? But let freedom ring. Galatians 5:1 says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Glory to God. Stand firm. Somebody say, stand firm. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to talk about, you know, when the phrase "let freedom ring." The word "ring," I looked it up some dictionary definitions, and there's some things that say things like to give forth a clear and resonant sound. How many think the gospel should be a clear message? No gray areas. Right? Amen. Jesus saves. Jesus loves me, this I know. A child can understand this. The devil and religion are what complicate things. Amen? Clear and resonant sound. To be filled with sound. You know, we talked about the bell itself. It can only be used for just a little while because it cracked. Right? And the crack actually goes up through the word liberty. So there came a point, I believe the last time it was rang was on George Washington's birthday, which is awesome and prophetic. And a lot of, so now it's a symbol of our freedom. Glory to God, right? But it also reminds us that liberty is fragile and needs to be protected. How many know our children need to be protected, need to be spoken for? Those who have no voice, the church has to be their voice. Has to be. I just don't understand ministers or believers that just want to, oh, I don't want to get political. Don't want to get political. They're killing and dismembering children. Not just in the womb now. Now they're telling them, you may not be a boy, you may not be a girl. All this crazy stuff goes on and on and on. They're lying to them on college campuses. We have to speak up for children. Glory to God. Have to. In our prayer closet, where we pray, when we're interceding, in our voting, and the Lord will show us ways to be, you know, carrying that out. Some he'll call to run for office, some he'll call to have a business or a ministry or make movies or, you know, all kinds of stuff. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And it also means words like to announce, to proclaim, the term ring, to sound loudly, to sound by striking. How many know we need to be striking the blood over our lives? That scripture, it says about when they put the blood over the doorpost, one of the words is they strike it on the door. We need to be striking the blood. I like the way Mark Hankins says, fling the blood. Just lay it over your families, over your household, over your country. Amen. You can do drive-by praying instead of drive-by cussing. Something makes me mad out there. Right? No, just apply the blood. Say the name of Jesus. Speak the name. Say the name. Apply the blood. It's like that bell ringing out from on the inside of you, that spirit of liberty. Amen. To announce, to proclaim. I like this. To usher in or usher out. How many know there's some things that we need to usher in and there's some things we need to usher out? But the devil and religion have done a really good job of confusing what those things are. What is blessing? What is curse? Well, maybe God put that on you. Maybe that's your cross to bear. Oh, no, no. Jesus bore my cross. Right? So the sickness, the disease, the depression, the addiction, whatever it is not my cross to bear. He bore that for me. Amen. I take his name out there. Amen. I don't say things like, well, maybe God made you a homosexual. God created you that way, so we're just going to embrace it and love it and put people in the pulpit and in children's classrooms that are men married to men and women married to women, and we're just going to go ahead and embrace it. No, no, we don't embrace the curse. It's like the old Wile E. Coyote cartoons. Let go of the anvil. The anvil is the curse. The anvil is going down. The anvil is sinking. And the Bible has clear things to say about people, adults, who tell children good is evil and evil is good. It has to do with an anvil and a rope or a chain and your neck and the ocean. Right? So we don't mess with that stuff. It's clear and obvious. It's a clear and resonant sound, the difference between good and evil. We shouldn't have lawlessness in our nation. Amen? There is a clear distinction between good and evil. And we usher it in and we usher it out in prayer, in our fasting and prayer, in our intercessions, in our decisions, in our daily walk. Glory to God. Amen? And it doesn't mean we walk in anger and hatred and resentment toward people. The Lord gave me three things. I may bring this up on Father's Day this year, but three things he told me. He said, never, and they were all V words. He speaks to me sometimes in those terms, right? But he said, don't have a victim mindset. Don't have a vengeance or venom mindset. And don't have a violation mindset, right? Victim meaning, oh, they're always attacking us. They're always attacking us. Or vengeance, I'm going to get you back. Or violator, well, yeah, they probably had a good reason to attack me. I'm such a sinner. I'm guilty. No. He said, don't have those mindsets. In Christ Jesus, you have a victory mindset. Victory mindset. Only. Somebody say only. Now, if there's something Steve needs to repent from, then yeah. Yeah, I violated it. I violated light. I repent, Lord. Now back on the victory track, right? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we're ushering in Jesus and we're ushering out the devil. That's the job of the church. So many believers just waiting for God to do it. God do it. God to do it. God to do it. He's already done his part. It's a partnership. We get into the word, we speak the word, we claim the word, we take action, we take our stand of faith, and yeah, God will be there. He'll be there to do his part, absolutely. But God is not going to just show up and do everything for us. He already did it. He already did it. Amen. I watched a great war movie last night with, what's his name? Gregory Peck. Yeah, thank you, Lacey. Was that Lacey or Lindsay? Because he's handsome, right? Gregory Peck, right? But he was in charge of a battalion of like B-52 bombers. You might have seen the movie. It's a black and white. And it's World War II, but the morale is really low. And he's a general, and he got sent to kind of build this brigade back up to go attack the Nazis, right? And these men are just depressed and despondent, and they're not obeying any rules. They just don't, half of them don't wear uniforms. They're drunk. They're, you know, they just don't care. A lot of them have died. And all of his commanding officers are telling him, you just need to love them up. You just need to get in there and just kind of coddle them. And he's like, are you kidding me? He said, if you treat them like children, that's what they'll be. I don't remember exactly how he said it. But I have to get in there and treat them like men. Treat them like men. Because these are grown men you're talking about. If I get in there and coddle them, we're done. But he said, I think higher of them than you do. Because you want me to get in there and give them little rewards and coddle them and nurse them along. But if I treat them like men, we might have a chance. That's the God I serve. He's not going to come alongside me and coddle me and, you know, No, he's going to encourage me to raise up on my feet, to be a man of faith, to put sin aside, look the enemy in the eyes, and tell him he's going down. He's defeated. We're ushering you out, devil. We're not making any, signing any deals with the devil. So he has some and we have some. No. None of that. Out. Devil out. Completely out. Hallelujah. Out of my family. Yeah. out of my nation, out of our schools, out of our government, out of Washington. I want to show you a video clip right now. Speaking of state government, because so often we get into, I'll need the handheld, thanks Lane. We'll get into what God is doing in on the big picture, which is wonderful, but we also have states that are in battles, right? And this is a great story of something that's happened. I saw in Flashpoint this past week. Oh, it's still there. Great. That's awesome. Hold on. Oh, it went back. Never mind. So I don't know if you ever watch Flashpoint on Victory Network, but this is a great clip of something God is doing in Texas. And we could all say, oh, yeah, well, that's Texas, right? But Texas has its own battles. And this is a guy, I'll just let it speak for itself, but I want us to have the same spirit in Oregon, in Washington, and take our stand of faith and watch God move. So just take a look at this, right?
All right, so let me go back to Nate. Nate, you know, what Senator Rabert brought up there with Tarrant County, that's a massive win for Tarrant, because Tarrant, most people think Texas is this big red state. Tarrant County is, you know, purple at best. You know, we've been fighting the blue wave that's in Tarrant County. Speak to that. That's a big win.
So ultimately, Tarrant is the last, and you know this, Gene, the last large Republican county left in Texas. And so it's one of the largest Republican counties in America. I think Miami-Dade just flipped red. Thank God for that. So I think they got us beat on population. But it's one of the last, you know, red walls. And by red walls, we mean standing up for hardcore Christian conservative values. And it's really been led by the efforts of our great county judge, Tim O'Hare. He's just a strong conservative leader. And my predecessor, now County Commissioner Matt Krause, is the one who put this forward for the Ten Commandments. My favorite thing is they're not even charging the taxpayers any money for this. They called around to all of us, and we all donated to get this put on that lawn of the Tarrant County courthouse. And so this is a big deal. Look, what we're seeing is a return back to our biblically centered values. And Texas really is leading the way. You know, after SB 10, I would say maybe an even more important bill that we just passed this last week is SB 11, which designates, in public schools, we just told every public school they must designate a time of the day in order to allow students to have personal, private prayer time. We are bringing prayer back into the schools of Texas. What a win. I mean, we're moving the needle. This is huge.
It is huge. So all you other states, you need to talk to Nate, because this is what we need to do. Nate, thanks for leading the way on so many things. I need to ask you. You know, we go to the same church. I hardly see you there. And you're one of the pastors.
That's true. I want to be back. I'd rather be back there than in the Austin swamp, I tell you that.
I understand. But how do you, Nate, you're very strong. You're a young guy, but you're strong and you're grounded. How do you do that?
I think at the end of the day, you know, our pastor, Pastor Landon Schott, has set up, and this is just good for anybody that has a desire to run for office, anyone who is civically engaged or even an activist, I would say. I have a health board that I check in with every single week. These are a group of pastors and spiritual leaders in my life that I'm held accountable to. And those people ask me the tough questions. Those people are asking, hey, when was the last time you called your wife? Did you call her today? You know, when was the last time you had your prayer time? Did you have your daily encounter with the Lord today? And my life has to be centered around the Word. And so we have a group of conservative lawmakers and who are a part of the National Association of Christian lawmakers as well, who come together and we read scripture together. We worship together. On Tuesday nights, we gather in the basement of the Capitol, right here in the Texas Capitol. A lot of people don't know this, but every Tuesday night, unless we're stuck on the House floor, we are worshiping with a different worship team from a church around the state, declaring the word of the Lord, and that the Lord is going to do something supernatural on the Texas House floor and the Texas Senate floor. And let me tell you something, this isn't just a fringe group of lawmakers. On Tuesday night of this last week, our very own Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick showed up to give an encouraging word and to bend down on his knees and pray for the legislation that's coming. Look, we've got believers that are fighting. And so I think it all comes back to that daily encounter with the Lord. We're nothing without his voice on a daily basis.
Boy, so true, Nate. That's a good word. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted you to have some encouraging about, because we're seeing so much play out in the negative part, and you're like, well, you know, we thought things were going to be better when Trump was in president. Well, they are better, but we've still got a lot of ground to cover. We've got a lot of wins we need to get, but we are getting the wins. So you need to be encouraged about that. But let's do what Nate just said. We have to have our personal daily encounter, not just go to church, but have your daily encounter, and let's be praying for what God has for us where we live. Because remember, our government is from the bottom up, not from the top down like any most other nations in the world. This is why it's so important for you to be involved right where you are. Reformers start at home, and that's who you are. You're a reformer. We're going to talk about...
Hallelujah. So it starts with our one-on-one time with Jesus, right? And but what a great story. And I love this showing you an example of the state level efforts that are happening. And can you pop the lights back up for me? Thanks, Lane. So we rejoice with all that. Did you hear him say the Ten Commandments back in the schools, prayer back in the schools? I mean, I heard somebody say once, as long as there are tests, there will be prayer in schools, right? Right? So, but it's just a matter of them publicly saying, you know what, we're going to put the Ten Commandments on the walls. We're going to, you know, all these kind of things that we've done in years past. And since that's been removed, crime has gone up and all this crazy stuff. It's all connected, right? And so just rejoice in that. But the word that I wanted to focus on just for the next few moments as we close is the word that he used, the word return, right? And the sounding of the bell has a number of things, a calling to worship, announcing events, warning signals, the marking of time, you know, a bell ringing. But I love the word calling is the thing I'm focusing on in this series particularly. And last week it was a call to remember our roots of faith and the blood that was shed and Memorial Day and all that kind of things. But today I want to talk about the bell reminding us it's a call to return to God. Amen? A call to return to God. And that's specifically one of the words that he used is we are returning to our faith in God as a nation. And that's something great to be praying and saying. Hallelujah. Is everybody in this country going to get saved? No. But we can have authority in the spirit realm and have the edge over the devil and have the edge over the youth and over kids, right? And over schools, over all the mountains. I love Pastor, or not Pastor, but Mr. Walnow, Lance Walnow, how he's brought us revelation on the seven mountains of societal influence. It's not just about yes, it has to be the church. How many think the church should have this down? And that's part of the problem, I believe, is that the church doesn't have us down as a general rule. Amen. If it's offensive to someone, don't talk about it. Right? Well, no, we need to get the word out. We need to get into the scriptures. We need to call sin, sin, and right, right, and wrong, wrong, and, you know, up good and down bad, and hell bad and heaven good. Right? All these basic things. But then take it to the mountains of societal influence. Take it to the mountain of media. Take it to government. Take it to education. Take it to science. How many know science ought to? It was so crazy these past few years. And them telling us, it's science. No, it isn't. It's a scam. Right? Now, that doesn't mean that the pandemic was real. Yes, absolutely. It was a devil. No question. But you know what was worse? Was them telling you can't leave your own house. With them putting family member against family member and in business. And if are you vaccinated? Are you not vaccinated? And all this crazy stuff to the government overreach things, right? So taking this word of faith, taking Jesus, the word of liberty, to the tops of the mountains. That's what's so great about Victory News and Flashpoint and all these other outlets that are actually doing journalism. And they're actually bringing a spirit of faith into it as well. It's priceless. It's ministered to me so much, especially over the past few years, to hear stuff like this. It speaks to me. It's not saying there is no devil, there is no bad stuff. No, it's saying, yeah, there's bad stuff going. They talk about it. But here's how we come at it in the realm of faith. And here's some action points that we can be taking. Here's some ways we can be educating ourselves. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. So, a call to return to God is what this bell reminds us of today. And I want to read to you as we close again, just a few quotes from presidents over the years. This is from Harry Truman, our 33rd president. The fundamental basis of this nation's laws was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings we get from Exodus at St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. If we don't have proper fundamental moral background, we will finally end up with totalitarian government. I love the phrase end up with. How do we want to end up in all of this? Right? We will finally end up with a totalitarian government if we don't have a proper fundamental moral background, which does not believe in rights for anybody except the state. Boy, does that sound true today. What happened in Seattle, that's exactly a good way to summarize that. Right? Now look at this. This is from Benjamin Harrison, the 23rd president of the United States. If you take out of your statutes, your constitution, your family life, all that is taken from the sacred book, what would be left to bind society together? Hallelujah, right? And then President Reagan said this, our 40th president, if we ever forget, somebody say don't ever forget. Right? If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be a nation gone under. And then from President Trump, this was during his inauguration. What a great speech, the inauguration speech, right? National unity is now returning to America, and confidence and pride is soaring like never before. In everything we do, my administration will be inspired by a strong pursuit of excellence and unrelenting success. I love how he says, we will not forget three times here. We will not forget our country, we will not forget our Constitution, and we will not forget our God, Donald Trump. We should say, we will not forget three times. We will not forget, we will not forget, we will not forget. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. So we're praying these things over our nation. Hallelujah. In Habakkuk, or rather Hosea 6 verses 1 through 3, the word says, come and let us return to the Lord. For these are great scriptures to pray over our country, to speak over our Senate, over the House of Representatives, over your state, over your community, over your school, over your family, right? Over all these mountains of society. I pray through the mountains every day. It should take a while to get through your prayer time. But it's an adventure with God, right? Come and let us return to the Lord. I love the word us. I think of United States. Come and let us return to the Lord. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He will heal us. And really when someone, all this stuff is God's judgment. No, it's really our own decisions. There again, to blame God that something went wrong. No, we went wrong. It's just simply spiritual law, right? To depart from God means to depart from life. So what is the opposite of life? Death. Opposite of light, darkness. Opposite of blessing, curse. So what do? Return. That's why I love the emphasis on our daily time with Jesus. We can't just be eating up the news all day. Flashpoint is not my devotional time, okay? It would make me angry if it was, in a good way. My devotional time is not spent preparing to speak to you. No, it's one-on-one, you and Jesus, reading through your Bible every day, going through your prayers every day, listening to a message preached every day from somebody somewhere, good faith-building message. And then let God lead you from there. What's in the news? What do we need to be praying about? Glory to God. He has stricken us, but he will bind us up. Glory to God. After 2 days, he will revive us. Somebody say, revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? On the third day. This is all prophetic, isn't it? Right? That we may live in his sight. Let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. There's work involved. Doesn't mean you're earning your salvation and your ticket to heaven, but there is work involved to get to know him, to get to know his plan, to get to know his purpose, to find out about the roots of our country, all these kind of things, right? Amen. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like the rain, like the latter and the former rain to the earth. Somebody say glory to God, right? Let's all stand up and pray. Just close it up in prayer today. But what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. So Father God, today we just thank you for this time to be together in your presence. And your word does say where two or more are gathered together. Amen. You're here with us. So we, as representatives of the kingdom of heaven and as citizens of this country, we come before you and we say by faith, we are returning to you as a nation. Even these western states of California, Oregon, and Washington, Olympia, Salem, Sacramento, we take authority over the devil. And we speak the mighty red wave of the blood of Jesus over these states. That there would be a sweeping moves of God, sweeping revival. A wake-up call to your church. That we are returning to God. Returning to our faith in every way we can do it, Father God. And we will commit as believers ourselves to be in your presence every day. To have our time with you every day in prayer, in your word, in study, in listening, in saying, and doing what you want us to be hearing and doing. And we apply the blood of Jesus around this country, around our president, around his office, around the airplanes, around everywhere they go, your peace and protection and supernatural blessing over them. As they represent you in those offices. And we give you the praise for the wonderful things you're doing right here where we live as well. We celebrate it and we thank you, Father God, for the great return that is happening. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen.